desire him. So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time where we can just gather here and set our minds and set our hearts upon you. I truly pray, Lord, that all my brothers and sisters that are here in this very place will experience the fullness of your love, your peace, and your joy as we are so ready to receive of you today. Lord God, please have your way in this time because, Lord, our hearts are fully submitted and surrender to you. Lord God, we place this time fully unto you now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God and praise God. So we're starting, actually not starting, we're continuing a sermon series called Power. And, you know, you probably heard recently in the news, right? You heard this trial case about this Caucasian female police officer who accidentally shot this African-American male named Botham Jean. You guys heard about that? I know it was on the news, it was on Yahoo and everything. And what happened, he was shot to death in his own apartment in Dallas, Texas. And this just happened, actually it happened last year, but the trial, you know, just took place in the past couple months. And you know, and the very fact, right, it happened in the month of September last year. And what happened was the police officer named Amber Geiger, she just got up her night shift, and she was probably pretty tired, and she went into her apartment unit thinking that was actually her unit. However, it turns out that instead of being on her own third floor, she was actually on the fourth floor, and she went into someone else's apartment. And the door was wide open. Actually, it wasn't wide open, but was partially open, and she heard a noise in the dim lighting of the unit. And so she yelled out to the stranger to show his hands, but she just totally freaked out. She was totally fearful, and she opened fire with her gun and fatally injured him, right, shooting him in the chest. And on her 911 call, she kept saying to the operator that she made a mistake, and she really thought this was her apartment, and she kept on apologizing to the victim. And I actually heard the phone call that was made to 911. It was on the internet. But she's saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But shortly after the paramedics arrived, you know, Botham, he died. And the case, I got to tell you, was so racially charged. I mean, everyone was so upset. And there were many demonstrations and protest marches that displayed much anger from the community. People were thinking, okay, she's probably going to get away with this, right? And so just last week was a trial case that found her guilty of murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years in jail. And after the sentencing, the judge asked if one of the family members would like to address this ex-police officer. And at first, it seemed no one, you know, would do it. But then Botham's younger brother, his name is Brant, he said, I would like to say something. And if you watch the videotape of it, you would know that he told this police officer that he had forgiven her. And I will show you the video at the end of this sermon, but I'm going to tell you, the community was utterly shocked at what he had done. He's saying, why are you doing this? You're right. Why are you saying you forgive her? And some just said, you know, it's too soon for you to say something like that. Well, first of all, you got to understand, both of these brothers, they were very strong Christians, and the parents are very strong Christians. And we know this is something we cannot do on our own. For us to actually forgive someone, you know, that had done such a great wrong, I mean, could you really do that? Could you really say, I forgive you? And we know this can only come from the power of God, to actually forgive someone that had done something that we know is totally mind-blowing, something that we kind of ask ourselves, could we have done that? So in part 6 of this sermon series called Power, we're going to take a look at the very fact that as a believer, we have the power to forgive supernaturally. Because we're not just talking about forgiving naturally. The world can say, okay, you know, you did this to me, you stole my candy, I forgive you. Okay, it's not that simple, right? Something like this, we got to make sure that the very fact we have the power of God inside of us, because guess what? We also have the love of Christ in us that we can forgive the way God wants us to forgive. So I want you to take a look at this key scripture here. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So what do we got to do? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Wow, and that's the key statement right there. Forgiving one another, what does it say there? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Just think about this, the fact that God, Father God, has forgiven you through his son Jesus Christ. This is the same way we are to forgive other people. Wow. Because you think about it, right? What Jesus had to go through, what he did for us. He suffered and he died on the cross. He took great punishment for our sins. Yet, he still forgave us. And so with the same kind of heart, we are to forgive other people. And this is so important as a Christian. We must realize this is what God has called us to do. So I want you to look at that question there. It says, what power can we obtain from God in choosing to forgive supernaturally of other people's wrongdoings against us? Well, look at number one here. It says, we're going to have the supernatural power to what? Remove all bitterness, rage, and anger from our hearts. And the key word there is all. We got to get rid of all of it. Because if we don't, we just let a little bit kind of stay there. Oh, man, the devil's going to use that. And he's going to try to get you back to a level where maybe it's even more intense of what it was originally. He's going to try to get you to really get angry at the person who had done you wrong. So first of all, let's have a definition of bitterness. Well, bitterness is a feeling of deep and bitter anger and resentment. It's hostility towards another person. What is hostility? Hostility has to do with hatred. I mean, that's what bitterness is, right? And, you know, some psychologists say that bitterness is anger at its fullest form of maturation. In other words, bitterness is anger matured. You know, anger, when it comes to its full form of maturity, it's bitterness because it stays with you, right? So they say there is a progression, and actually, you know, it's funny that all these three words are here in the scripture, and they talk about the very fact it starts off with anger. This is the progression. It starts off with anger, and they say anger is an emotion that you may temporarily feel at the moment, right, with a given circumstance. You know, someone cut you off in the freeway. You get upset, but guess what? It just kind of goes away after. You know, you kind of keep on driving, and you listen to worship song, and then it goes away, right? But then if your feeling of anger becomes even more intense, right, and you let it kind of be uncontrolled, you know, instead of kind of saying, okay, enough of this, I'm not going to think about it, you just let it kind of brew in your mind, guess what? You're going to start having feelings of rage, you know, come into your mind as you allow yourself to also have feelings of hatred towards this person who had done you wrong. Okay, that's the beginning, right, where you start to say, I hate this guy for what he did to me. All right, but then if your rage becomes even more intensified, and here's the key word, constant, you just let it keep on going now. It starts to get even worse and worse. It starts to intensify, but you just let it go, and it becomes more and more constant. You allow bitterness to settle in your heart, and it seems like you're always mad at the world all the time. You ever met someone like that? Every time you see them, wah, poof. You know, it's just like they're mad. And you go, why? I just said hi to you. I just want to be nice. I said, why? I don't have time, you know. Why? What you like say to me? You met someone like that before? Oh, not easy to be around someone like that, you know. But, you know, there are people like that. They're very unforgiving and they're very ungracious. And we know there are people, you know, could be that they experienced some great difficulties in life. I don't know, something terrible happened, and that's why they are what they are. But let me tell you about this illustration. What happened was years ago, there was this terrible outbreak of a disease in a tiny village in a remote part of Africa. And, you know, both children and adults, they were getting sick and they were overcome with nausea. I mean, they were getting very, very sick. And several weeks passed and the sickness became widespread and people started to die. Okay, that's how bad it was. And word of the disease reached the main city in that area, and experts were dispatched, and they were trying to figure out what was causing this problem. And they soon discovered that the water was contaminated. And so the village got its water supply from this mountain stream, right, that was fed from a spring. So here's a spring, and then it kind of flowed down into this stream, right? And so the experts decided they're going to trek upstream and hopefully find the source of the pollution. So they traveled for days and finally came to the mouth of the stream. But on the surface, they didn't see there was anything wrong. And so they were really puzzled, and they decided to send some divers down to search as closely to the spring's opening as possible. Okay? And what the divers discovered totally shocked the experts. You know what they found? They found a large mother pig with their baby piglets. Guess where they were? They were wedged right at the opening of the spring. And what happened was it appeared that they had drowned. And somehow they got stuck there. They got wedged right in there. Now, all that crystal clear pure mountain spring water was being contaminated as it what? As it flowed through the decomposing remains of these dead pigs. So in no time after, right, the divers were able to extricate these dead pigs, right? And the water began to flow clean and pure once again. So why am I telling you this? Well, we got to understand, we can't let the root of bitterness take hold of our lives. We got to deal with it, because here's the thing. Just think about it this way. When we allow unforgiveness to stay wedged in our minds, that's what it is, because we don't want to let it go, right? Sometimes we, I cannot forgive. I can't. I'm not ready, right? And we let it be wedged in our minds. Like those dead pigs, right? It's wedged in our minds. Guess what? It will flow into your heart. Even just a little bit, you know? It'll flow into your heart, and it will contaminate your heart. And suddenly, you're becoming a person that you don't want to be. You're becoming a person that everyone else is shunning. And that's what happens. We got to realize, even just a little bit, the devil will use that. We got to get rid of that. We cannot let that wedge, you know, stay there. We got to say, be gone in Jesus' name. I will not allow myself to continue to have these impure, these ungodly thoughts about someone. And you got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give it to the Lord. I want you to look what it says here in Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not, what? See the Lord. You're not holy. You're not willing to forgive. You will not see the Lord. Look after each other. So what? None of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And look what it says there. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And you kind of think, wait a minute, don't I already have the grace of God? Well, the fact is, you know, the grace of God always will stay with you. But when you start to have unforgiveness and bitterness, guess what? You're losing a lot of God's grace. The fact that he's so gracious to you, you are affected in a way that you're not going to want to show grace towards someone else. Let me give you an example or an illustration of this. As you all may well know, right, my son Benson, he attends Hawaii Pacific University. And, you know, the campus has moved from their Fort Street Mall location to their new Aloha Tower location. And you know, when Benson has his classes there, you know, I drop him up in the front. And, you know, then I pick him up when he's done. The problem, however, is that if you know that area, there's no parking. And it's super expensive, you know. So that's why, you know, I usually take him. And so there's no free parking. So sometimes I got to circle around and around until he comes out. So one day I noticed this sign at the parking lot, and it reads that there is a 15-minute grace period. Oh, I didn't know that. 15 minutes. Okay, so now I don't have to keep going around in a circle, right? And so I said, okay, I got to take advantage of that. So I go in, you know, I get a ticket, you know, and then I go in and the gate opens and I just park the car and now I, you know, I can go to the restroom. I can just kind of walk around until Benson comes out. But just imagine this though, because usually, you know, when I'm ready to go, I just put the ticket in, the gate goes up and I within 50 minutes, right? And no problem. But just imagine if I were to go to my car one day and upon driving out, I put my ticket in and the gate doesn't open. Instead, let's just say, right, on the computer screen, it says, no 15-minute grace period today. Pay $2. Imagine, how would I feel? I'd probably yell at the screen, what do you mean? No grace for me, right? Can you imagine? You're going to go, why? It's supposed to be constant. It's supposed to be all the time. Because you said on your sign, 15-minute grace period, that should be what? All the time. Not, okay, I don't feel like it today. You know, no grace for you today. And you got to understand something. God calls us to be people with grace. Why? Because he's gracious to us. We don't deserve what he has given to us. He gave his son to us as the ultimate sacrifice of his love for all humankind. And you know what? We cannot say, oh, but you know, today, nah, I'm not going to do that because I'm not feeling good. Today, I'm kind of upset at someone, so I'm not going to show you grace. Well, let me tell you, as Christians, we should have that constant flow of being gracious towards others because we are set apart for God. Amen? We got to show to the world that the love of Christ, the grace of God is in us. Then the grace of God never leaves us. But when we allow the root of bitterness to come into our minds and into our hearts, suddenly we're not so gracious to others, you know? For some of us, we may even feel justified for feeling bitterness towards someone because, you know, come on, be honest, right? Have you ever, you know, been wronged by someone and you start thinking these terrible thoughts? Maybe, okay, you're just thinking about this person. He's walking along and this big boulder just drops on his head. Come on, be honest, right? And you kind of go, oh, yeah, he deserves that, right? and you kind of go, wow, you know, could that really happen? Well, God, what do you think? You know, it's almost like, wow, you're actually having this conversation with God, wanting this person to be in harm's way. And we feel justified for feeling bitter towards this someone because this person done such a great wrong. And it seems like these terrible thoughts we're having about this person actually makes us happy. Come on. And I heard it. When I talk to people, that's what I said. Pastor Ben, I got a confession to make. I've been thinking some terrible thoughts about my ex-girlfriend. I go, you know, and I go, all right, okay. And then they share it, and I go, stop that. Okay, that's all I got to say. Stop it, because that will only make your mind more impure and unholy. But look what it says there in Proverbs 14, 10 through 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. The heart knows its own bitterness. The heart, now our heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. And when you think about it, what does that mean? The heart knows its own bitterness. Well, your heart is the one that knows that it's bitter towards someone, because remember, it kind of flows from your mind, right? It starts with anger, resentment, and it flows just like that dead pig, right? It flows into your heart. That's where it gets bitter. So your heart knows how bitter you are. And guess what? No stranger shares its joy. Because guess what? You yourself, like I said, you may feel happy when you think these terrible thoughts. But nobody will share in its joy. Only you. If your heart is not right with the Lord, yeah, you may feel joy. You may feel happy. But you know what? God knows about this. You think God is happy with the fact that you're happy? About the fact you're thinking that you want someone to be suffering, someone to be harmed. We got to be careful of that, because guess what? God knows what we're thinking. And we got to say, Lord, I'm not going to continue these thoughts. Lord, forgive me. And you got to be willing to stop it. And I got to tell you, there's this pastor. His name is Isaac Butterworth. And he wrote in an article about the time he experienced great bitterness between two families in his church when he was younger. I'm just going to read what he says here. He says, when I was in college, I worked as a youth director at a little church out in the country about an hour's drive away. There were two families in that congregation that didn't get along. It says, when they came to worship, they will take up their positions on opposite sides of the room and glare at each other with contempt. You know, stink eye, right? That's what we call it. And so when it was time to leave, they would do everything in their power to avoid contact with one another. They had long since given up speaking to each other. And he says, once I asked the pastor about it, and he said he would look into it. But everybody he asked told him the same thing. He says they didn't know why these two families didn't get along. So when he asked what started the whole thing, no one would recall. And so he went to the heads of the two families and asked, so what happened to create such division between you? Guess what? They couldn't remember either. Wow. And you know, I guess you could say in this case, bitterness was contagious among the families. And to the point, you know, it seems like they themselves got bitter. Imagine, even their children were bitter towards the other family's children. Why? Nobody knows. This is what we got to understand. When bitterness takes root upon your heart, it can affect everyone around you. And suddenly your friends, your family, you know, they might even know why there is such contention. They just know that you're upset at the other family, and suddenly they're upset at this family too. You know what I'm talking here? And then you ask them, well, how come you're so upset at the family? Because my friend is? I don't really know why. That's why we got to be careful with this kind of bitterness. It'll affect everyone around you. And guess what? You may not even know why you're bitter towards that person. But look what it says here in James 3:13-15. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from what? Comes from wisdom, wisdom of God, right? Verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and what? It's demonic. Come on, come on. It's the source of the devil, right? Where he's the one who really is helping you to get more bitter towards someone. Even though you go to church and you listen to, you know, all these Bible study programs and you may kind of just listen to other sermons and you know deep in your heart as you listen to the Word of God, you know the Holy Spirit is telling you it's about time you forgive. But come on. These demon spirits know what you're listening to. They know the fact that you're trying to draw close to God, and they don't like it. And they want to create more strife in your life. So they say, no, don't let that person get away. No, don't do that, right? And suddenly you kind of go, I know I should do the right thing, but I don't know. Something inside of me tells me I shouldn't. Well, you got to discern what is of God and what is not of the Lord. Because guess what? Demonic spirits, yeah, they can talk to us too. And they can speak to us in our minds in ways that will try to get us away from doing not just the right thing or good thing, from doing the godly thing, from doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And you got to understand, you know, the word bitter comes from the ancient Greek meaning. You know what the word bitter means? It means sharp or pointed. And if you have ever experienced the sharp-tongued remarks of a bitter person, you know it. They can hurt you deeply, right? They say things that, oh, it punctures you. It hurts. Sometimes people, they say things, you know, bitter person say something to you, wow, you carry around that pain for a while because it cuts you to the bone. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? And we got to make sure we're not like that. Because sometimes, you know, the devil is right there. He's assisting us to say these terrible words towards our loved ones. And we got to say, no, I ain't going to do that, devil. Because I know you're trying to destroy my relationships. I'm not going to let you. And you got to let the Holy Spirit cover you and fill you so that you're not going to continue to do that. I want you to look at point number two now. It says, God can give us the supernatural power to what? To remove all harsh words and slander from our mouths. Well, usually it gets to that point because of the fact we have anger, we have rage and bitterness, right? usually that will be the one thing that will trigger us to say these harsh words and make up slander about people. You know, one Christian mom has found that if she doesn't have her quiet time each morning, right, she tends to lose her temper over insignificant things. And so recently, her son Andy reminded her of the need for daily prayer. And so what happened was he had accidentally spilled his drink, and the mother, she just went into a total tirade. She started yelling and screaming and spewing explosive, hurting words to young Andy. But Andy ended her harsh words when he quietly asked her mom, "Mom, did you forget to ask Jesus to help you to be nice today?" And let me tell you, it sounds like, so innocent, so like, you know, like what a young kid would say. But there's so much wisdom in that. Because the very fact, because even for me, if I don't spend time in the morning, you know, with Jesus, with the Lord, in the Word, yeah, John Lee may tell you I can get snappy at times. And that's the honest truth, because, hey, I'm human just like anyone else. But when I'm in the Word, when I'm just desiring more of God's word to come into my mind and into my heart, you know, I become more and more like Jesus. And I know there's less episodes of me snapping and getting all upset and all this. That's why, yeah, it's true, right? With Andy telling the mom, hey, maybe you should spend more time with Jesus right now. And it's true for all of us, amen? The more you spend time in the word, the more time you spend time in the presence of the Lord, yeah, less likelihood that you're going to say things that will hurt others. I want you to look what it says there in Proverbs 12:18. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Wow, look at that word. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Just imagine this, a sword being thrusted into somebody. And now, because you're bitter, because you're angry, you're going, I know you don't want to think about that, right? It's kind of graphic in your mind, but that's what it is. We're causing this person pain beyond what we could ever imagine. It's like it's enough that you just stab this person. You're bringing it out and you're putting it back in. That's what it says. It's just like sword thrusts. It's just like you're allowing this person to really be in excruciating pain. And we got to realize, you know, when we're doing that, we got to get our hands off of that sword and say, what have I done? Lord, what have I done? And we got to make sure we become a person who is willing to bring forth healing. Because it says the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. And we got to realize when we're doing something that's really hurting someone, we got to stop. But look what it says in Proverbs 29:11. Read that with me. Ready? Go. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Okay, and we know a fool gives full vent. That means no holding back. We're talking about destruction coming from the Hulk, right? Hulk smash! And just everything in sight is demolished. Everything is crushed. But it says a wise man, you know, we have control. The only way you're going to have control, you got to be in the Word. You got to be spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you do so, you will be able to control. Don't say, I can never control my anger. Yes, you can, because you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? Self-control. I want you to look what it says here in James 1, 19 to 21. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be all what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the what? Oh, it has power to save your souls. And this is what we got to realize, you know. Our words, what we say, it has power. Even the Bible says our words have the power over life and death. And so we got to be careful what we say, but the way to do this, we got to be more willing to listen. Don't always think, I got to say everything. I got to put in the last word. We got to stop doing that. And we got to be willing to listen to others when they're, you know, wanting to share things with us. You know, let's look at Ephesians 4:29. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And Paul makes it very clear. We cannot let any corrupting talk that will hurt others, talk that will slander others, you know, we got to stop that. And he says, instead, we should say words that will be good for building them up, not bringing them down, but bring them up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And when we do this, we know this is what pleases God, when we can get along with each other and really show to each other that we really love and care for one another. You know, there's this resident of Orlando, Florida. Her name is Kathy Plate, and she tells a story of the time she visited her neighbor. And she says while she was there, the son, 5-year-old Andrew, he pulled out his kindergarten class picture and began describing each classmate, okay? And she would say, okay, he would say, this is Robert. He hits everybody. And then he said, this is Stephen. He never listens to the teacher. And then you said, this is Mark. He chases us and is very noisy. And then he points to his own picture and he commented this. And this is me. I'm just sitting here minding my own business. And think about this. Don't we have this tendency to slander others? We make ourselves look good. Right? As long as we look good, it's okay. But I'm going to point out all the errors, all the mistakes of everybody else. And I met people, you know, that's all they talk about. Every single detail of every error, of every mistake that other people have made. And, you know, that can become slander because sometimes you can, you know, come up with false information and you can come up with false accusations about someone. And so that's what slander does. It usually comes to a point where you're giving information that is not true. So we got to learn to zip it because we smile, right, when a 5-year-old boy does it. But, you know, somehow as adults, right, we become much more sophisticated in the way we slander others. And sometimes you say, you know, I don't want to tell you this, but, you know, I'm concerned. Or I think we should pray about this person. So I know I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. And suddenly we're spewing out information that we know this person had confidentiality, you know, with us. This person believed that we will not say anything. And we should hold up to that. Amen? Because when we start to create slander, wow, it's going to end up hurting someone. And we know it is just as destructive, just as sinful as a 5-year-old, you know, just telling someone about their classmates. It can be just as bad. And, you know, in the next passage, you know, James, in his book in chapter 4, this is what he tells us. Okay, I want you to read with me. Ready? Go. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him against the law, judges him, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And we got to understand, right? Sometimes, yeah, we feel like because we're Christian and the other person is not, we got to put on the judge's robe. It's like an invisible judge's robe. Okay, I got to tell you what is right and wrong. Now you got to listen to me. Now listen very clearly and very intently to what I'm saying. And it's like, wow, who made you judge, right? And sometimes we do that. Even I will do that. I'll be honest, right? And I gotta stop myself. And I know the Holy Spirit said, Ben, come on now, you know? Because here's the thing. Sometimes we, don't get me wrong, sometimes we got to speak what is truth. But we always do it in love. We do not do it in a way that makes us look like we're superior over someone. Because once you start doing that, this person will kind of look at you and go, who do you think you are? And, you know, I was just talking to some brothers and sisters earlier, and I was just kind of sharing, you know, when we do that, we're just going to turn that person off. We first show them love, the love of Christ, that you really care about them. Don't think you got to jump the gun and say, okay, I got to tell you the truth right now, and you better listen, because you're going to burn in hell. You're not going to listen to me. and that's what some of us do, right? And this person is even turned off even more. No, show them the love of Christ. Show them that you care about them. And that time will come, you know, when they know how much you care about them, they're going to be all ears. And more importantly, they'll be all heart. They're going to look at you and say, wow, you care about me. I'm going to listen to what you're going to say. And look what it says here in James 3, verse 2 and 7 to 10. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be what? You'd be perfect. We would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. But are we perfect? No, because we cannot control our tongues. So what do we do if we cannot control our tongues? Oh, we're done for already, right? That means no sense even in trying, right? Well, let's look at what else this verse says. Let's read in verse 7. Ready? Go. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And it isn't right, right? But here's the thing. We know we can never be perfect, but do we worship our God who is perfect? Yes. So we gotta look to him. He is the one that will help us to control our tongue. The one that is perfect, we can never be perfect, but the one that is, he can control our tongue. It's when you allow his word to settle deep in your heart. It's when you allow his word to control you. Because the Bible says we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And when you can do that, yes, you can say you yourself can never control your tongue, but guess what? The Holy Spirit can. It's when his word has settled deep into your mind, deep into your heart, and you realize this is the only way that you will not allow your words to hurt other people, to destroy other people. I want you to look at point number 3 now. It says God gives us the supernatural power to remove all types of evil behavior from our lives. And here's the thing. You know, when somebody does something wrong against someone, you know, the person who is wronged, right, they often will demand justice. Like the case I mentioned earlier. You did this to our son. I want justice, right, that you got to get what you deserve. And you know, people, they often seek justice through the laws that govern our land. That's why laws are written and, you know, through the legislature, through our government officials like that. They have to come up with these laws. Nothing wrong with that, right? Even our God, he's a God of what? He's a God of justice, you know? And he especially does not tolerate evil deeds that are done against those who cannot defend themselves. However, this is the thing we gotta really understand. When a person's anger and bitterness fills them to do evil deeds with the desire to see another person suffer, right? To see that this person be put in harm's way, or this person will have to be put to death. If you kind of have this kind of desire, I'm going to tell you, this is not of God, because it will only corrupt your heart and soul. It will make you something that really is not of God at all. And I heard Christians saying that, you know, I believe, Pastor Ben, that God would want my enemy to suffer and rot in hell, right? Or that they would say, you know, it is. I know it's God's desire that my enemy, this person who's giving me such a hard time, that they will be inflicted with some terrible, painful, and incurable disease, and that they will die very early. You know, I mean, because sometimes, right? You look in the Old Testament, you know, you see like David, he's saying, Lord, you know, take care of my enemies, Lord, that you will be the one to crush them. And sometimes people, they look at that and go, okay, I can say the same thing. But the fact is, when you start doing that, I'm really, no matter how much you think it is of God, it really isn't. Because it's making you something really opposite of who God is, of who Jesus is. I want you to look what it says in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It says, woe to those, right? You think, oh, no, but this is of God. No, this is what God would want. No, that's not what God would want. You know, God, he always looks at a person's heart. You know, the thing is, you know, I know in sermons in the past, I've talked about that. You know, God will take care of us, right? When people give us a hard time, God, he's going to do what he's going to do. But, you know, sometimes people think, okay, I'm going to ask God to strike that person down with lightning, you know, and burn them up, fry them up, Lord. And you know, that's not what God wants us to do, because this is the kind of thoughts that will make us more like the devil. Come on, be honest. That's just what it is. It's going to make us more like the devil, not more like Jesus. So we got to stop thinking those kind of evil thoughts. God's going to do what he's going to do. Let him take care of it. You know, God, he's a just God. He's a loving God towards his children. And we got to put it in his hands. Let us not be the one to dictate to God, okay, God, I think you should do this. Run them over with that Mack truck, Lord. Go ahead. No, don't do that. Let God be God. You're not God. Let him do what he's got to do. Look what it says in Romans 12, 18 to 20. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are what? Hungry, you feed them. If they are thirsty, you give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Wow. God says, let me handle it. Don't tell me what I should do or whatever. Let me handle it, child, because I will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. Our part, no, we still show love. We don't do things, okay, I'm going to hurt you back. No, it says, they're hungry, you give them something to eat. They're thirsty, you give them something to drink. You're going to heap burning coals of shame. This is like, they're going to realize, wow, I am a cad. You know, I am that terrible, because you're showing kindness even though they're being so mean to you. And this is the true love of God. It's called agape love, unconditional love. And this is the kind of love that we all must show as Christians. Christians that really know his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, now going back to the trial case I mentioned earlier in my sermon, you know, when the judge, Tammy Kemp, you know, asked if a family member of the victim would like to say a few words, you know, to this ex-police officer. Now she was just told, right, that she's going to be sentenced to 10 years in jail. And, you know, it seems like no one at first would want to speak up. But then the brother, his name is Brant Jean, says, ma'am, I would like to say something. And I remember in an interview, the family, you know, after this had been, had taken place, right, they were like, what are you going to say? You know, it is totally unexpected. But it was something I knew. As you see it, you knew he was led by the Holy Spirit of God to say what he's going to say. Benson, I want you to show that video. I want you to watch that.
Sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. Again, I love you. As a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Wow, it's touching to watch something like that. You know, that kind of love, you know, that's not human love. Oh, that's the love of Christ. And we have that love inside of us because we believe in him. And you know, I want you to understand, you know, prosecutors had asked for 28 years for her to be sentenced. That's the age both of them would have turned just this past Sunday. That's why they were saying 28 years, but she got 10 years in jail. And you know, Judge Tammy Kemp, she was so moved by Brandt that, you know, the Dallas News, you know, reported, you know, she openly sobbed. You saw her. And she's a Christian. And, you know, after the preaching, you know, she left the bench, right, and emerged through the door that the jury uses to enter and exit the courtroom. And, you know, Judge Kemp went to the Jean family, as you saw, right? And this is what she said. She says, "I'm so sorry," she said to each of them, "I'm so sorry for your loss. Thank you for the way you modeled Christ." And this is what she told the mom. "Thank you for the way you modeled Christ." And then she went to the defense table where Amber still sat, you know, and she was still grieving. And the judge handed her a Bible. Wow. and the judge told her, "Amber, please read this." And you know, Amber stood up and she hugged the judge. And shortly thereafter, you know, this scene was seen all over the internet, you know. And no one knows what Amber said to the judge, but, you know, Judge Kemp replied, "Ma'am, it's not because I am good. It's because I believe in Christ. None of us are worthy. Please forgive yourself." Oh, wow. I watched it. I was like crying like a baby. I tell you, I was like, wow, just imagine every Christian was able to show this kind of love, this kind of forgiveness, this kind of grace to everyone. Wow, we would be living in such a different world. But we know that's not always the case. Come on, let's be honest. You know, after the verdict was given, I'm going to tell you, you know, there were people outside the courtroom. They weren't as forgiving as the Jean family. You know what happened? You know, some of them, they were still angry. They angrily marched around the city chanting, "No peace, no justice." And one person was heard commenting, "You know, there is nothing God can't do. It's only what we won't do." And oftentimes we know what God wants us to do. God is telling us, forgive already, let it go. But we won't. And just imagine, you know, the immediate family of the victim, right, who was probably hurting the most out of everybody else. Can you just imagine what they had been going through? They decided, you know what, we're going to let go. We're going to forgive. We're going to let go of all the bitterness and all the pain and give it to the Lord. But, you know, still, these people who probably are strangers, they won't let it go because they probably haven't really experienced the love, the grace, the peace that comes from God. Because we know this family, that's what they have. They have it in great abundance. Such grace to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. And look what it says there in James 4, verses 15 to 17. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, what is it? It is sin for them. Because, you know what? If you're in the Word of God, you're spending time in prayer, you're spending time with Jesus, you know what the right thing for you to do. You're going to know what you ought to do. But if you don't do it, guess what? The Bible says it is sin. And we got to be willing to do what the Lord asks of us. Amen? Because we all struggle. Come on, I struggle. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I'm not ready. I don't want to do that. And the Lord says, Ben, if you love me, you must obey my commandments. And sometimes, you know, I put up a fight. I'm sure you put up a fight with the Lord too. But there comes a time when, you know, if your heart is right with the Lord, you're going to know, yeah, I got to do it. I got to do it right now. And I want you to look at this last verse. And I know you know this verse because this is a verse that's preached often, right? Matthew 6, 14 to 15. And this is what Jesus says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Very simple. And you just think about that, because some people just read this, okay, God will not forgive me my sins. Just think about that for a second. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you also. Because think about this. Isn't this what our Christian faith is all about? The fact that we repented and God forgave us our sins. If God doesn't forgive us our sins, it's just like we don't believe in God. It's just like we don't have a relationship with God. You know, that's so important that we got to ask God to help us. Because sometimes I understand people say, but Pastor Ben, you don't know what that other person did to me. Such hurt, such pain that they have inflicted upon me. I understand that. I'm sure I can tell you about some people that have caused me a lot of pain in my life. But I realize if I want my relationship with God to be strong as it ever will be, I gotta let that go, because it will not progress. My faith, my relationship with God will not get stronger unless I forgive others, because that's the only way, it's the only way that he will forgive me. I have to forgive others. And this is something every Christian really gotta really take seriously and take it to heart and realize this is the only way that God will forgive me, because if not, we're going to continue to live a life filled with bitterness and with the absence, I'm saying absence of God's love, peace, and joy. And we don't want God's love, peace, and joy to be absent. We want it to be in great abundance. The only way, we got to let go, brothers and sisters, of all the hurt and pain others have caused us, and we got to give it to the Lord. And we got to say, Lord, it is all yours. And I got to tell you, watching this video, it just touched my heart, I mean, to its core. Just watching this young man, what he did, he really exemplified the love of Christ. Amen? Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the message you have given us today. And Father, I know, Lord, some of us may say, yeah, you know what, I can think of a long list of people that have hurt me so badly in my life. And it could be that some of them we have not forgiven yet. Or some of them we may think, okay, I don't need to forgive them. But Father, we know your word tells us if we do not forgive others, that includes everyone, doesn't matter what they've done in our lives. If we don't choose to forgive them, your word tells us you will not forgive us also. But Father, we come here today as we heard your word. We know this is something that is so important, that we must let go. And when we let go, we got to put it fully into your hands. And that we say we forgive that person, it is totally let go of. And we're not going to allow it to affect us in ways that will continue to bring forth anger, rage, or bitterness in our lives. We're going to fully surrender it over to you. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize as I think about it, there are some people in my life that I haven't fully forgiven. I know I still think about, things that I know I shouldn't be thinking of. I'm thinking terrible thoughts about this person every now and then, even though I said I had forgiven them. But Father, please help me to say, when I say that I've forgiven this person, it is totally let go of. That I'm going to let your love, your peace, and joy fill my heart so abundantly that there will be no more of these negative feelings towards that person. The only way we can do this is through the power of God. We can't do this alone. And if you ask God for help, He will give you this power. And truly, as you are able to do it, the whole world will see that truly God is alive in you. And if this is your heart, you're saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your power to help me to forgive supernaturally. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Huh. These hearts that are crying out to you saying, Lord, I've held on to bitterness long enough. No more, Father God. I'm going to release all of it to you. And I pray as this is their prayer, Father, you're going to take it. You're going to supernaturally take it, and you're going to replace it with your love, with your peace, and your joy. And I know as they have truly shown sincerity about this prayer, I know they're going to walk out of here feeling so light. It's like a heavy burden had to come off of them. It's because they had given it fully to you. I praise you, Father, knowing that you have done this as they have cried out to you. Father, we just want to tell you how much we love you, how much we need you, and how much we desire you more than anything else in our lives. Father, I thank you for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. All my brothers and sisters, they say together, amen, amen. I want you to stand up.